4. The companionship guided towards destiny is a dimension of the I. Belonging. Recognizing being joined together in a companionship because Christ is there develops the sense of a belonging that constitutes the person himself. This kind of companionship is something substantial for the definition of our self. A person is not complete if not in companionship. A person generates companionship and is generated by a companionship. Belonging is the name of a relationship that goes this far. You belong to me, and I belong to you. I belong to the companionship created by the event of Christ, and this companionship, in its every factor, belongs to me and I to it. The concrete companionship where the encounter with Christ takes place becomes the place of belonging of ourself, from which it draws the ultimate way of perceiving and feeling things, the way of grasping them intellectually and of judging them, the way of imagining, planning, deciding, and doing. Ourself belongs to this body, which is the Christian companionship, and from this, it draws the ultimate criterion for tackling everything. Only this companionship, therefore, enables us to face reality, makes us touch reality, and makes us real. With these words, John Paul II described the interior dynamics that define the individual's relationship with the companionship. Adhering to Christ as the principal and inspiring motive for living and working, of awareness and action. Belonging to Christ is the content of a new self-awareness. We belong to God. We are His, in the most radical and ontological sense of the word. We are His creatures, but our creaturely dependence would remain an enigmatic and fleeting perception if it had not been revealed clearly in Christ. For no one has seen God. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, has made Him known. In belonging to the God who has become man, our total dependence, our being made, becomes clear. What defines me is an other. I coincide with the will and the power of an other. I belong to an other, to Him who creates me. And He who creates me has become man. So I am not what I think and feel about myself, but ultimately what this man thinks and wants of me. The companionship strikes us, and we feel attracted, because it makes the encounter with this man a concrete experience. It takes away the abstraction and makes us experience it as a reality that we can live today. The companionship is not an idea, a discourse, a logic, but a fact, a presence that implies a relationship of belonging. Ideas, logic, consequentialities are all then drawn from this belonging. But first, one has to be within the fact of the companionship. The companionship demonstrates the presence of God become man, because it is made up of people who, if they remain faithful, eventually change. The belonging to the companionship, whatever form it takes, springs from an event, from an encounter from which comes a newness that begins in me, a new perception and adherence to myself. The beginning of a new creation springs up in me, one that cannot be ascribed to what I think or feel about myself. In this belonging, our whole person is taken up and changes as time passes. We really think, perceive, judge, feel, and experience affection, work. In other words, manipulate reality. Give ourselves, our life, our death, in a profoundly different way. So much so that Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You have to be born again." Ideas, discourses, and logic do not change a person. Being together with others, if it is consciously and freely adhered to, changes a person, and synthesizes all the factors, even in the most rebellious heart, provided it is not so rebellious as to go away. So begins a new creation of ourselves, that is to say, the discovery of the true creation. In belonging, the person has the experience of a cohesion among the details that make up his life. Thus, his life takes on a new meaning, and a new unity. It is really a question of a new meaning, which cannot be reduced to the short breadth of time and space that we can measure. It is a meaning that goes infinitely beyond it. Only in the experience of this cohesion does there begin to dawn upon the horizon of our awareness the perception of a positive meaning of time, in spite of everything. In other words, of something greater and more powerful than evil, and stronger than the narrowness of the present. Here we understand the value of the Christian companionship. It reminds us of where we are heading, of the meaning of what we are, of the profound beauty, of the tenacious tenderness. It reminds us of the intense capacity for sacrifice and dedication, all according to the ideal that springs from being assimilated to Christ in that moment, the greatest moment in life, which is called baptism. It is truly the mystery of Christ that becomes present in the Christian companionship and walks with us. In this new reality, a dynamism develops, which Peggy can help us to grasp. When the student does nothing but repeat not the same resonance, but a poor repetition of the master's thought, when the student is no more than a student, even though he be the best of all, he will never generate anything. A student does not begin to create unless he introduces a new resonance. In other words, unless he is no longer a student. Not that he should not have a master, but one must descend from the other by the natural ways of fathering, not by the scholastic ways of discipleship. So this is the dynamism implied in belonging. This is the need of a true companionship, so that it be the source of mission throughout the whole world. Not discipleship, not repetition, but sonship. The introduction of a new reverberation, a new resonance, is proper to a son who has the father's own nature. He has the same nature as the father, the same stock, but he is a new reality, so much so that he can do better than the father. And the father can look with delight on the son, who has become greater than he is. But what the son does is greater, precisely inasmuch as he better realizes what he has seen and heard from the father. Therefore, for the living, organic nature of the Christian companionship, there is nothing more contradictory than, on the one hand, the affirmation of one's own opinion, of one's own measure, or of one's own way of feeling as the ultimate criterion, and, on the other hand, pure repetition. It is fathering that generates. The blood of one, the father, passes into the heart of the other, the son, and generates a new capacity for realization. Thus the great mystery of his presence multiplies and spreads, so that all may see him and give glory to God. The greatest sacrifice is to give your life for the work of an other. Belonging is the most important word for defining the nature of the new creature through whom the ontology of the event is conveyed. So deepening the awareness of self as belonging is the first line of development for a mature self-awareness, that is to say, for a Christian anthropology. The more the self perceives itself as belonging, the more it will give birth to actions whose form is correct and adequate to destiny. From the perception of the ontological value of belonging springs the moral formula that most intensely summarizes and indicates the way we live life. The greatest sacrifice is to give your life for the work of an other. This phrase is analogous to Christ's own. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But even more profoundly, this phrase recalls, as does the whole of John's Gospel, Christ's own experience, Christ who gives his life for the work of the Father.